Blog Talk Radio.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. While in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. Sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, you'll still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
On Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver. Or you can reach us on our phone line at 845-277-9094. Also on the line, I have my lovely wife, Miss Kay. Good evening.
Hey, good evening.
And we're coming at everyone tonight for our D&K Bible break. Before we get started, most important, we want to give honor to the Lord, who's the head of both our lives. And tonight, we just want God's word to be seen and heard and not us. With that being said, we want to thank our sponsors, Pepsi, Finish Line, Pizza Hut, the Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, also Brentwood Publishing. We want to send a shout out to them. All the shows is on Blog Talk Radio, Praise Tabernacle Church, the Overseer Timothy Jackson, and Elder George Bazaar as well, on all their programs throughout the week. I'll tell you more about that towards the end, what time you can listen and what day we'll be on. Also, we got a great show tonight for D&K Bible Break. Hopefully, you guys get something out of it. Again, this is just, we're just trying to have a little Bible study, put a little bit of knowledge out there, what we know. And again, we can learn from you and anyone else that would love to come on the show. Just hit me or Kay up. We'd be more than glad to have you on our show. With that being said, we're going to open up our show. I'm going to open up with prayer. I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Kay. We're going to get right into the D&K Bible break. It's going to be a good lesson. I'm already feeling something in the spirit. So we're going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to go ahead and get this thing started for tonight. Again, thank you for joining us on D&K Bible Break. Heavenly Father, we want to just thank you right now, Father God, for waking us up in our right frame of mind, Father God, giving us all activity of our limbs. Father God, we just want to say thank you again, Father God. Father God, we also just want to recognize you as the head of our lives, Father God. And Father God, if there's anything in us that's not like you, Father God, we ask that you remove it right now, Father God. Father God, we just ask for forgiveness right now, Father God, for anything we may have done, Father God, past and future. And Father God, we just want you to lead and guide us the way you would have us be led tonight, Father God. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name. We pray. With that being said, I'm going to introduce you to Miss Kay. She's going to get the thing started off tonight. And I like to say we're going back to the basics of salvation, but I'm going to turn it over to Kay.
Amen. Amen. So tonight, I'm going to be throwing a lot of scriptures out at you. So if you can get your pen and your paper, write down the scriptures. I don't want anybody to just take things as my opinion. I mean, of course, my opinion is in there as well, but I want you to look at the scriptures, make sure everything is what the Bible says, because that's the bottom line, is what the Bible says. That being said, I'm going to give you your first scripture, which I'm going to start this program out with. So it's Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We have received a powerful and life-altering gift through Jesus. All we need to do is accept it. Salvation and eternal life are ours. Jesus gave us the gift of salvation through his sacrifice on the cross, death, burial, and resurrection. Now, we don't just accept Jesus and then go on with our lives as we did before we accepted him. It's important that we continue to strive daily with God's help to live a life pleasing to God by obeying his laws and doing his will. Now, you don't become perfect after being saved, but you are perfectly forgiven and saved from the penalty of sin by God's grace. It's important not to go by what you may have always thought or but by what other people say. Look at what the Bible says by reading the scriptures. Nothing we can do earns salvation. We learned that in Matthew 19 and 16 when Jesus was talking to a young Jewish ruler, or even in Ephesians 2, 8 through 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it is by God's grace that we are saved from the penalty of sin. Now, there are plenty of people who like to use this scripture when they make a mistake and they get caught in their sin. I'm pretty sure everybody knows the scriptures, Romans 3 and 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They like to use this. They like to say, you know, you heard it before. I'm human. You know, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. They use it like it's a pass for them to keep on sinning or to commit sins. When as believers, we sin because we choose to sin. It's a choice, not because the devil made us do it. So a lot of times we want to blame the devil for everything. Stop blaming the devil. He didn't make you do it. You did it because you wanted to do it. So take the blame game off the devil. Own up to what you're doing. It's time out for playing. We have a lot of people that's playing church, and I just believe that God is going to start pulling back the veil on all these secret sins that people got going on. What you do in the dark will come to the light. So I just feel that it's time out, and we need to get right because the world is looking at us. And if they're looking at us and we're doing this and that, we're doing what the world is doing, there is no difference. There is a difference between Christ and the world, and we have to show that difference. And we can't do that if you in a club, they in a club, and then they come to service because they got invited, and they see you in a choir. We can't keep doing this. We got to get it right. We got to cut out the foolishness. I'm going to go ahead and let you get in there a little bit, mister.
Well, no, I'm just going to comment, and I'm going to ask a question. And based on my question, is just based on what I've just hearing you say. And what about people who get saved? And when I hear you talking about clubbing and playing and all of that, and I understand exactly what you're saying, but also just for people, because some people do struggle with certain things. If you've been clubbing for 20 years and you get saved today, and you do you mean to tell me that person ain't going to ever go into another club again? And when he does go in a club or she goes into the club and happens to see some people in the choir in the club? Because there's a difference when you get saved, and this is what I want to talk about, the simple way of salvation. And if I'm wrong, please correct me, because I'm going somewhere and sometimes I don't know where I'd be going, but I'm just hoping the Lord leads me. People do stuff, and I'm not talking about like me and you. We're seasoned. We don't associate with certain things, but there's other people who are getting saved now, and when they get saved, they put all these rules and regulations, what you can and cannot do. And some sin, because it's just there's no greater sin one than the other. Sin is sin. But there's some people who are in the choir who've been walking with the Lord on Sunday. After Sunday, they give the lip service, but they have no relationship with Christ. Then you get people who get saved who don't give lip service. They give an honest praise, but yet they still struggling with sin. You understand where I'm coming from? You get some people who've been in church their whole life. I grew up in church my whole life. And I know people who grew, you know, just some of my peers who would dibble and dabble, act holy on the days they're supposed to act holy, but cut up on the other days. And they will try to teach and witness to people and tell people, well, you ain't going to make it to heaven because you're living like this. The only thing is we just don't see them living the way that they're living, and there's no difference. Am I making myself clear?
Yeah, I'm following you.
No, I'm just saying, so what is the difference?
Okay, so there's a difference between practicing sin and I made a mistake and that was wrong. Lord, please forgive me. There's a difference between the two. So there's a lifestyle that you live. You're practicing sin daily or weekly,
right,
or on the weekends,
right,
or whatever you want to say. When it's the bottom line, the thing is, though, we all make choices every day. There's no way you can't tell me that somebody's going to make a choice to get dressed and go do what they do. It's a choice that you make. I get up in the morning, I can choose to brush my teeth or I can choose not to. It's a choice. We all have choices. So it's the thing is we make a lot of excuses for people, and a lot of people know right from wrong. So we're not babies. We're not three-year-olds or toddlers where you got to keep telling them to do it over and over and over. We have choices that we make. So either you're going to choose to do right or you're going to choose to do what feels good to you. And a lot of times we choose what feels good to us, even though it may be wrong, but it feels good. So I'm just going to do it for a minute. Hey, I'm going to have my fun. I'm going to do me. It's a choice.
I just wanted to say what it is, and not only if it's a choice, but I believe you have a scripture that you're going to be reading later. I'm going to get to it before you, but Ephesians 2:8-9, and you know, God's word says that we are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, not by our own effort or work. And what I want to say by that is, you know, it's in the heart. God knows the heart. So there are some people, and I'm just going to say this, who are in the clubs that is going to go to heaven. And there's some people that's in church all the time that's going to bust hell wide open because they don't know who Jesus is as a personal Savior. We give the lip service. And when I say we, I'm talking about people who've been in church, go to church on Sunday school, Bible study, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And you can do all those services and look good in front of everybody, but if you don't have the heart of Christ, And if you haven't accepted him in your heart, you're not going to make it to heaven. That's not what Derek said. That's what the Word of God said. And but we want to sugarcoat sin as well, especially people that's sinning and want to live sin and practice sin and be all around sin and then want to come around a holy God. No, 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 you can't do that. Some people who sin, we mess up daily. I could have made a mistake today. I'm not practicing in it on a day-in, day-out basis because I got to ask God to forgive me and let me see where my sin is. And the only way I can get rid of it is through the Word of God. The Word of God, and when you have the Word of God, it says faith come by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. That's how you know Jesus, is through his Word. And once we do that, then it's not, you're not living in sin and you're not practicing sin. But there's days, and the Bible says that all sin and come short of the glory of God. So there's no one perfect. So, and at the end of the day, you know, some people want to live in sin and also put on the mask of being a Christian or knowing what it's like, religious. I'm going to use the word being religious. Being religious and also living in sin. And that's what they do. They're religious, but they live in sin. And you can, my Bible says we're in this world, but we're not of this world. And some days we're going to have bad, we're going to make bad choices, but he knows our hearts of hearts. And that's the thing that we have to let the other people know, that is our heart. If your heart is right, you can see Christ in your heart. And it doesn't matter what you do on a day in and day out basis. But if you're living in religion, and just religious on Sunday morning service, Sunday school, Sunday night service, Bible study, and you go to all them services, but you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're just a good person. You're just a good person, period. But you don't know Christ.
Well, it's not possible for us to live perfect. We are in this world, as you just stated, we are not of this world. So it is impossible to live perfect. You love Jesus and you do sin, you got to get your business right quickly with God. Don't wait. If you slip up, don't wait. Don't hesitate. Ask the Lord for forgiveness immediately. Because you know when you do wrong. Like, okay, let's take it for example. I'm a fast driver. I like to drive fast. My daughter always tells me that I think I'm driving in the Indy 500, but I like driving fast. And I will catch myself getting an attitude with a car in front of me because they're moving so slow. And I used to be really bad with it. And I don't cuss, but I can call somebody an idiot in a minute. So that's not right. Right there, I'm sitting with my mouth. My kids in the car, they come on now. I'm doing that in front of them. I'm doing that in front of God. So I had to start thinking about the words that come out of my mouth. It's not right. So yours may not be as, I mean, to me that's minor, but sin is sin. And by me acting like that on the road, I can cause an accident. I can hurt somebody. And it's not that serious. Just like in things in life, you could be doing things you think are okay. Maybe you'd like to have a drink here and there, but then you got unsaved family members looking at you like, oh, they over there partying. They got wine everywhere. They don't understand. They can't distinguish the difference between you and the people that's not saved. So we got to be careful with how we maneuver in this world because people are watching us. All eyes are on us. And if we're going to stand for Christ, we need to stand for Christ. And stop all the dibbling and dabbling. We got to get right. It's time out for all that. Life is short. We got people dropping like flies. We got this virus out here. I mean, we just got so much going on, and we just got to do better. We got to do right. And not only just for ourselves, but for the people that's watching us.
And I just want to, you know, emphasize, and I don't want to lose focus on salvation being a gift. I don't want you to think that you have to, I hope I'm not contradicting myself when I say this, but the thing about it is I don't want to put, and I don't want to go off into the wrong subject, But salvation is a gift from the Lord. He gives us salvation. If you choose to have salvation and you accept him in your heart and believe what he did on Calvary's cross, and he got up on the third day, and he said, you shall be saved. And in Romans, I think it's 13:10 says that if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. That's it. There's nothing. There's no more putting to it. You can't add to that, and you can't take away. And I believe it says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. There's a period. That means you can't add to it. There's nothing to add to that. That's salvation. And once you get salvation, you know, now you have to build on your faith. That little bit of faith that you had to believe, you got to build on that to live and guide you. Now, you're not going to be perfect when you get saved, and I don't want to sit up here and say you got to stop doing everything, but there should be a change. And the change should be, some people change drastically. Some people take some time. But at the end of the day, I don't want you to think that salvation comes with a whole bunch of rules and regulations, because it doesn't. It does not. And it tells you that in Romans, was it 10:13 or 13:10? I can't remember which one it is, but it says that if they call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And there's a period at the end of that in everybody's Bible. It's a period. I mean, it's the end of conversation. It's not open. This isn't Derek making this up. But a lot of people that I've talked to recently talk about, well, you can't do this no more. You can't do that. You can't. And those are man-made rules. And you just saw in the scriptures where it says that if you just call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved, period. Now, when people start adding stuff to it, that's when it gets tricky. That's why it gets frustrating sometimes to even be saved, because you got to battle with why you're saved. Just as my wife was explaining the way she drives, I cannot hold her salvation based on her calling somebody an idiot at that moment, because I don't know her heart. At that time, it may not be right. But at the end of the day, I cannot judge her heart. Even though it may be wrong, I don't know her heart. Now, I know because of my wife, I know that she's a good-hearted person, but everyone doesn't know that. They could be, oh, she does this one, and have the wrong interpretation of you. So now they're judging you. And that goes on with a lot of people, especially new babes in Christ. People judge you because they want to see if you stop. If you've been drinking for 20 years and you get saved tonight, I'm not saying it's impossible to stop drinking, but I'm pretty much sure you're going to have another drink here and there. I'm not condoning it. That's between you and the Lord. But I also can't judge you about your salvation because you do it. I hope I'm making sense and I'm not being too complicated. Because all I want to do tonight is we're living in a time where people are putting a price with salvation. And salvation, I believe my wife said, is a gift. And a gift is free. You don't have to pay for a gift. And because you don't have to pay for a gift, I want to say this. Salvation is free, but it ain't cheap. It ain't cheap. So if the Lord is giving you a free gift of salvation, you best be, it's the most expensive gift that you're going to get in this lifetime. And I'm a witness to that. Because everything the Lord has blessed me with, I can't tell you how it happened, where it happened, if I was qualified for it to happen. But the Lord does. That's because I'm a Christian. It doesn't come easy. So I just want you to understand, when you get saved, don't look at everybody's book of, oh, I got to stop doing this, I got to stop doing that. Just accept it and listen to his word.
To add to that, we do have to show compassion when it comes to, especially if you know this person just accepted the Lord, it is our duty to be that sounding board for that person. They may be having a bad day. They may want to take a drink. It's our duty to be there for them, offer them encouraging words, let them know what the Lord says. Now, don't get all holier than thou and try to beat them over the head with scriptures. That's not what we do. Show the love of Christ. That's the only thing you need. Show the love of Christ. lead them through love, lead them through how the Lord would do it. A lot of us, we just want to say, oh, well, you shouldn't be doing that. Didn't you get saved? Didn't I see you at the altar? Oh, you shouldn't be. That's not our place to do that. Like I said, we're not perfect, and it's only by God's grace that we're saved. So don't act like you all that and you on a pedestal because you don't do A, B, and C, and that other person does. So just have some compassion and show the love of Christ. And when the person gets to a certain point, they may start reaching out to you saying, hey, I need help in this area. Or if you show them, if you walk the walk and you talk the talk and they can see that within you, they're going to be asking you questions. They're going to come and want to know, hey, I'm struggling with this. How do you know how I can stop doing this? Or they're going to come to you. But if you're doing, you know, what you ain't got no business doing and you don't look no different than the next person down the street, then something is wrong. I know back in the day there used to be like a difference. I wasn't part of this group of people, but I believe they're called holy rollers, and they were the people that looked like they always wore skirts. All the girls wore skirts. Even if you playing outside, we playing kickball, baseball, whatever, they had on skirts. I know that's a religion thing, but they were like, they were different from the people that was in my hood. So they were just different. And some might say I was part of that group, but I don't think I was. I still do what I did, but I think there should be a difference. And that nowadays you can't tell the difference. Everybody looks the same. So
right. I just want to go by what you're saying. And like I said, a lot of people think that, you know, back in the day, and I know when we was coming up back in the 80s, you couldn't wear, if a woman wore pants, she was considered a hoochie mama. She wasn't saved. You weren't allowed to wear makeup. There was so much stuff that you couldn't do this. And now, today, they have done away with a lot of that stuff. A lot of people have done away with that. So by me saying that is a lot of the rules of salvation, people put on people, and salvation is man-made rules. And it's impossible to live up to being perfect. And the Lord isn't, he doesn't want to make you perfect, but he's trying to perfect us on a daily basis. And we have to know, and we got to have the spirit of knowing that this is the Lord's will and not our will. Some days I do what Derek want to do. But at the end of the day, I wake up every morning and say, Lord, let your will be done for this day. And in some area, I will fight on that. I'm fighting on that today in certain aspects. Lord, let your will be done today. But I can get an attitude quick. I'm human. And that's when you have to allow the word to work on you. It doesn't mean I'm not saved. And I'm saying this, and I'm using myself as an example, because I don't want people who just got saved to think that it's going to snap your finger and you're going to be perfect overnight. That's not true. That's not true. And whoever's telling you you're going to be perfect overnight is feeding you, I'm just going to say, a lie. The Bible says that we've all come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. And if anyone say they haven't, the Bible says the truth is not in you. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. And like I said before, we have a lot of things to talk about when it comes to salvation. We want to keep it simple. If you accepted Christ, praise the Lord. We ought to rejoice because you accepted the Lord. I ought to rejoice because my wife is saved. She should be rejoicing because I'm saved. We should be rejoicing because some of the people that's listening to the show is saved. It shouldn't be about what you're not doing and why you do this and why you do that. It's not of my business what brother or sister so-and-so did yesterday or last night. It's not my business. Only way it becomes my business if they come to me asking me for help or needing to hear a word from me. Then I can give them the word of God. But I'm not going to just go out and just beat up on people because I know that they're sins. And I can see their sin. Thing about it is some people can't see my sin. They try to make believe they can see my sin, but they don't know what I do on a day-in, day-out basis. But I'm not right every day. I just want to put that out there.
I'm going to go back to what I said at the beginning of the show. You know, okay, I'm just going to go there. People with this I'm human thing, I hear that a lot. I'm human. And I hear it more so from people that are saved than I do from people that are not saved. So when you say I'm human, we're all human. We know we're all human, and we know we all make mistakes. But it just seems like the I'm human phrase is used when you do something wrong, and that's used to cover up what you did wrong. It's like a pass. I'm human. I don't understand the reason why people say that a lot. I'm human. I mean, I hope you're not an alien walking around here. So we're all human. So I don't understand that phrase.
Well, the thing is not human is now we're going to go to another level of salvation, because once you become saved, and a lot of people that use that phrase, people that use that phrase and say just as long as I have, well, I'm human. And it makes it easier to repent because you willfully did something. And now you want to take the easy way out. Well, I'm human. And they go back to the scripture where we all sin and come short of the glory of God, which is true. But for a believer, and when you get salvation, we are going to have some bad days. And like you said at the beginning, some people live in sin, and then some people fall in sin. That's two different things. If you're trying to live right and you're trying to live holy, you know what you're trying to do. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to fall. It may not be in areas you like, or you're going to have something that you're going to slip on. It's just that life has taught me it happens to the best of us. So, yeah, we're human. But if I want to go out here, and I'm just going to use me for an example, and slip up, and then I got to come home and tell my wife why I'm human. She's going to look at me like, okay, you know better. I can't use that excuse. Well, you're human. She can't use that excuse with me, but I'm human. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's when we want to play with the Lord. Because, and the thing about it is, and if you're not married or you don't have a spouse, we'll use that, well, I'm human. Okay, but when someone hurts you or you do something that's not right and you use that, it's like, well, I'm human. It's just an excuse to make it easier for you to slip in your sin or do what you want to do. Let your will be done and not the Lord's will. Because if you let the Lord's will and you let his will be done, you won't be slipping and sliding doing what you're doing. And then we want to use the excuse, well, I'm human. That's what I believe that comes from. Also, when you get saved and you got the Lord, and like I said, it changes your heart. Can't no one see your heart, so I'm not going to judge no one's heart. But life has taught me, being in the church almost 40 years, it's taught me people want to live a double standard. And when they want to live a double standard, they use that phrase, well, I'm not human, I'm human. Or we've all sinned. Okay, yes, but you're living in sin. You're living in it. You didn't slip. Slip, you're going to get up and keep on moving. That's the difference. That song, we all fall down, but we get up. The sin isn't falling down. The sin is staying down. But once you get up and you're moving, you acknowledge what you did, you keep it moving. That's what the Lord does when he forgives you. He keeps it moving. He then forgave you, you keep going on. But now if you want to live in it every weekend for like all the way up until Easter, and then you want to be holy on Easter Sunday, and then, okay, well, I'm only human, and the rest of the weeks you just living in sin, okay, now I have that's what a lot of people do. And that's what I'm trying to say That's the excuse. But I'm not dealing with people with excuses. I'm dealing with people who are really trying to live for Christ. You ain't going to be a Bible scholar overnight. You are going to slip some days, but you're still saved. You ain't got to go to the church and turn yourself around 18 times and confess everything you've done in front of everyone, because everyone in the church ain't praying for you to succeed. So you don't want to put all your business out there like that. I'm just telling you the truth. I've been in church 38 years. 38 years have taught me you don't tell everyone your business when you go up to the altar. That's between you and the Lord. So if you're asking the Lord to forgive you and to help you, that's between you and him. Ain't no man has no business judging your heart. Nobody has that business to do that.
Amen. Amen, amen. Well, I want to share something with you. So when I study the Word of God, I try to put it into something that I can understand. And I wrote some stuff down, and prayerfully it comes across the way my brain wants it to come across, or the way the Lord wants it to come across. So I'm going to share something with you. This is in relation to sin. So since we're talking about salvation, we're talking about sin. I'm going to share this with you. So we all know that people have allergies, and there are many different types of allergies. Some people have food allergies, insect allergies, drug allergies, skin allergies, even seasonal allergies, those allergies where, you know, only a doctor can help you. You may have to go get shots, or you may have to take some pills. And for other people, maybe they have to take some over-the-counter medicine like Benadryl or something. Benadryl, I believe Claritin is another one. Those are other medications that deal with allergies that you can get over-the-counter. And for some people, you may have to have an EpiPen. Now, an EpiPen is to be used in a life or death situation. So I'm going to share my story with you. So I love shrimp. And I used to eat shrimp all the time until my last pregnancy. And that last pregnancy, I developed an allergen to shrimp. And the doctor advised me that if I eat shrimp again, I could die. And they prescribed me an EpiPen, and I had to take this EpiPen everywhere I go just in case I come in contact with shrimp or shellfish as well, not just shrimp, but shellfish. So this has been going on for 14 years. That's when they told me, hey, you can't eat it or you're going to die. Now, I'm not going to lie. I've said many times over the last 14 years, I'm going to get me some shrimp, and I'm going to sit outside the emergency room just in case I need some quick medical attention, because I like, you know, I love shrimp. I just want to taste it again. I'm like, okay, just let me have a little taste, and if need be, I'm right here at the emergency room if this EpiPen don't work too well. Now, I know it makes no sense, but that's exactly how we are with sin. We want to take chances, and we think we can get away with sin. So, like, for example, we judge people, as we were just talking about. We judge others, lust, envy, pride. Or we think, oh, just a little bit of flirting won't hurt. The problem is, that's not your man. Why are you messing with talking to that man, that woman's husband? Why are you flirting with him? These little things that we do, or I'm going to just take this one hit, I'm going to smoke this one blunt, I'm going to just gamble just a couple dollars, I'm not going to use a lot of it, or I'm going to sleep with this person just one time just to get it out of my system. These are the chances that we take with sin. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't have a problem with any of that because that's not my thing. Maybe your thing is lying every once in a while, or cheating on your taxes every once in a while, or you got a nice, nasty attitude, can't nobody tell you nothing, or whatever the circumstances is. Like allergies, they can appear slowly and softly at first until they're out of control and you have a real outbreak. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. One sin is enough to cause death. It only takes one time. I have plenty of friends growing up. They're going out, they're gonna smoke this blunt one time. The blunt lace, they crackheads. To this day, they are drugged out. I'm gonna take this one pill just to ease the pain. Next thing you know, you a pill head. You can't stop taking it. That one thing can cause you death. It can cause you your life. So I said all that to say this. Sin is not nothing that we need to be playing around with. You don't know the end result. You don't know that one time or that one thing. You could sleep with somebody, they could have a deadly disease. Next thing you know, you're out of here. It's not worth it. And maybe you're not the type of person that say, I mean, maybe you're the type of person that say, I don't have sin, I don't do all that, I'm just, you lying all the time. You don't know. That lie could be the last lie you tell. I think it's Ananias and Sapphira, I'm going to say the wrong name, Sapphira, but when they lie and they drop dead just like that, we got to get it right. It's time out. One sin is enough to cause death. So how long are you going to cover up your sin like the Benadryl used to mask the root of the problem? We got to let Jesus give us that life-altering shot. Stop the lip service. Get right with God. Let's get it together. And it doesn't matter how many steps you've taken away from God. It is only one step back to Him. Get right, ask for forgiveness, and let's do right. Let's make choices daily to do what the Lord wants us to do. Daily, we should be having this flesh die daily. It's a daily thing. It's a minute by minute thing. Because stuff happens back quick. So, but I hope my analogy made sense. I mean, it made sense to me. I pray that it made sense to everybody else. But we got to get right. Time out for playing. Stop playing church.
No, you're good. And your analogy was very good about the allergies and being sin. And again, I don't want to repeat what you just said, but your sin could be your last. It could be the last thing. And I'm not saying you're going to heaven or you're going to hell. I don't have heaven or hell to put you in. But why take that chance? Why willfully do something and knowing that it's wrong? And that could be your last breath, whether it's going out. And you go out in the club and you out drinking and you might get hit with a drunk driver. It may not even be your fault, but you're in that atmosphere. You could be out and the club could get shot up. All the people that was in the clubs when the person went in there and shot the club up or shot the movie theater up, regardless of whatever was going on, there was kids, and I'm not saying it, but if you had lied and snuck out and went somewhere you ain't got no business and something happened, then, you know, you wasn't in the right standings with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it makes you going to go to heaven or because I don't know that question, but the Lord knows your heart. What we're trying to say is living in sin and slipping in sin is two different things. God knows your heart.
Can I add to that? Let me add to what you just said, because it's not so much, I don't go to clubs. And that may not be other people's forte. However, I remember a couple years ago when the young man, Dylan, I forgot his last name, but he went in and he was shooting. After praying with people, he shot people up at the church. You don't have to be out in the streets doing whatever. You can be in the house of the Lord and you ain't right. So don't make it seem like it's just for people who are out in the streets and partying and drinking and smoking and doing all that. You could be in the house of the Lord and you could be doing wrong. The bottom line is get right. God sees everything. You got to hide nothing from him. So that's what you need to be thinking about in the pulpit, in the pews, on the drums, leading the choir, on the usher board, mothers of the church. We all need to be thinking about this. This is like for real. Like, don't think because you ain't out there dipping and dabbing in the streets that you ain't sinning. Because if you're sinning, the Bible says time and chance happens to us all. You can get it right. If you hear me and you under the sound of our voice, you got time right now to get it right. It's not too late. Just stop. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Get on your knees and pray and cry out to the Lord and ask him for forgiveness because time is running out.
Amen. And you're talking about the killer that shot up that church in South Carolina. I can't remember the young
right,
man's name. The white guy.
Right. They were
right.
At the church. Exactly.
And what we're trying to say is people. I just want to get this out for the people that's in the church, and you know, and I keep referring back to me being in church almost 40 years of my life, because you go to church, and because you go to Sunday school, you go to Bible study, and you may even sing in the choir, but you don't know Jesus. And my daddy did a sermon, and I wrote it in my first book, What's Really Going On, Close to the Cross but Far from Christ. You can take a form of religion and don't know Jesus, and you still going to bust hell wide open. And it's funny because I heard my father tell this joke one time back in the 80s, and he said if someone came in here with a gun and said he's about to kill everybody in here, and he gave people opportunity to leave if they wanted to leave. And he said, if not, I'm going to kill everyone, but if anyone wants to leave, if anyone, he's asking for money. If you gave money, they left. Only the true believer stayed in the house. And he said, okay, he put the gun down and said, now we can have church. We got rid of all the phony people. And what I'm trying to say is just because you go to church and you go through all the services and you know all the scriptures doesn't mean that you have Christ in your heart. The devil knows the word too. And the devil goes to church too. But for the people who just accepted Christ, I just want to let you understand, salvation is easy. You just accept and believe. The rest of it is between you and Jesus. Ain't got nothing to do with church. Ain't got nothing to do with no one else. It's between you and the Lord. And long as you got the right standing with the Lord, and he's the only one who knows your heart, you're going to be all right. So stop listening to religious folks. And I'm hoping I'm making sense, because like, we ain't trying to be deep tonight. We're just trying to get people who accepted Christ. People accepted Christ yesterday in all different type of churches. We just want you to understand that, hey, salvation, you did it. We praise the Lord. Amen. Come on, you're our brother. We're going to encourage you. But don't think that you're not going to slip one day. And I heard a pastor say this one time, if you sin and don't tell him you go to my church. Well, he ain't got no members in his church because everybody's sinning. So the Bible says that. Now, we ain't living in sin. But we slip up every now and then and have a bad thought, have a bad attitude, tell people a piece of your mind instead of God's mind. And instead of doing God's will today, I did Derek's will today. So therefore, yeah, I slip up time to time. I'm not drinking and cussing and swearing and ho-hopping, but I've had bad days where I'm not following the will of God. That's the difference. I'm not living in sin. People want to live in sin and be religious. Live in sin and be religious. Just because you party on Saturday night, oh, I'm going to get up early and go to church. Okay? Now you're living in sin. There's some people who party because they've been doing it for 20 years and still make it to church because they want to hear the word of God for themselves. That's your heart. And I'm not trying to separate it. I'm not trying to say it's good for one and ain't good for the other. But people know what I'm talking about. Church people have a tendency to put a spin on stuff. Well, I'm only human. Well, we all sin. Yeah, we have. But for the new babies that's coming in, let them get a little bit of word in them and let them be led by Christ and not led by religion. And that's just, there's difference, being led by Christ and being led by religion. People been in church their whole life, and they'll do all these rituals. But when it comes time to doing something from the heart, which God commanded us to do, love our neighbor, we don't want to do that. You see a sister that ain't dressed right, you ain't going to go in your closet and give her a dress to wear or go buy her a dress. You just going to sit and talk about it. And then get an attitude because she's talking to your husband a little bit too long. Well, if you were secure in being a Christian, you really wouldn't got nothing to worry about. But you plain church. I know I'm saying something to somebody because that's what it relates to. I don't have to worry about nothing when I leave my house. I'm not saying I trust everybody. I'm not saying I don't, because I can see them, but I'm not worried about that. And my wife shouldn't be worried about it either. But what I'm saying is when you're playing church, everything bothers you. That's why I'm glad I'm not a pastor, because I don't want to deal with people who don't understand what it's like to have a relationship with Christ. Because you got a relationship, you don't worry about all this artificial stuff. I don't care what someone wears to church. It's not going to bother me because I'm not going to look at people. I don't need to shake the pastor's hand every Sunday. I don't need to talk every Sunday because I want to go home and watch a football game. I want to go home and eat. I don't have time for all of that. But in order to look important and feel like you're going to heaven, you got to have them tight-knit relationships. Well, I don't want to be tight with people like that. And I'm starting to, and when I say this to people I talk to, I'm not trying to cut you off, but at some point, you got to make it and know it's between you and Jesus. I ain't got nothing to do with it. And when she accepts Christ, it's a free gift. It's an expensive gift, but it's free. The Bible said, I'm going to keep going to Romans 13:10, 10:13, right?
13.
If that's what, huh?
10:13. 10:13.
That thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. Period. There's a period at the end of that, right? There should be a period at the end of that. You can't add to that. You can't take away from that. You ain't got to dunk three times around and give a massive offering and do all the and go to new Bible believer classes and all. You ain't got to do all that. You ain't got to do all of that. And all that is just a form of religion to tell you how this church wants you to act when you're in public. That's really all that is. If you really want me to break it down, that's all that is. New Bible believer class. Okay, what's new about it? Ain't nothing new about salvation. You accept, you believe, you move on. And everyone has their own curve of where they're at in the Lord and their own belief level. The Bible gives everyone that small little bit of faith. And every time you hear the word of God, your faith builds up a little bit more. Not religion and not the way you want them to live. That ain't got nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is between the Lord. How do you know the Lord? Through his word. How do you get his word? Through faith. Faith come by what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. That's all I'm saying. It's that simple. We ain't trying to be deep tonight. We're talking about the simple basics of salvation. It's that simple. And then once you accept that, it's not your will. It's his will. And how do you know if you're doing wrong? You got to ask yourself the question, do Derek want to do it or what will Christ have me do? Well, if Derek say cuss him out, well, you know that's not the will of God. You know it's wrong. Well, I'm going to do what God, turn the other cheek. I'm going to walk away from it. That's how you, there's no, oh, I need to go call the pastor and the elders and pray for me because I'm about to go off. You don't need to do all that. It's very simple. But what church people want you to do, go to these new Bible classes. We're going to teach you the right way. No, you can't teach someone the right way to live. See, I wasn't out in the streets, in the crack houses, in the whorehouse. I wasn't out there like that. You can't teach me because I don't know that. But I know the crackheads and the whores and the junkies in the church that come to church every single Sunday, every single Wednesday for Bible study. I know them. I know the wives that are sleeping around on the husbands. I've been in church 38 years. Don't think I ain't never been approached by, I mean, it's funny to me. But at the end of the day, for the new Christians, I ain't going into all the church gossip and all the church business and the bylaws or the laws of the church of this or that or whatever. I'm just saying salvation is simple. And if we keep it simple, trust me, you'll feel free. You'll feel free. Even when you mess up, you still feel good. Because when the Lord chastises me, I get happy because he's still talking to me. When he gives me something good to say to people, I feel good because he's still talking to me. He's still showing me things. I'm still learning. I'm still his child. Whenever you get fed up with your child and you don't even yell at them no more, you don't even care, that's a dangerous place to be. And the church, and a lot of people, and I know I'm talking to my wife, I'm sorry, a lot of people in the church, the Lord ain't talking to you because you know better. And now I want to skip to the people that know better, that's been in church. That's living a lie. All they doing is living religious. I'm done, wife. I'm done.
All right. Well, I just want to add in addition to that, I know we're about to get ready to wrap up here, but the Lord didn't only save us from going to hell, but he also saved us to have a relationship with him. So don't get caught up in doing the good things for God and forget actually to be with God. So it's important to get into his word and draw nigh to him. Draw unto him, study the word so you won't be led astray. And it's important to link yourself up with people that you know are truly following Christ and they have a heart for Christ and they want to do the Lord's will and they don't have any type of hidden agenda. So it's important to get linked up with somebody that you see. Watch what they do, not so much what they say. So watch people and the Lord will lead you and guide you if you get in his word and seek him on the direction to go. And to remain holy. The bottom line is we got to be holy because God is holy. So that's all I want to say. Serve the Lord and live for him. And let's leave everything else where it belongs.
Amen. That's right. Now, I need you to do me a favor real quick. Because I'm going to make an announcement. I'm going to get up out of here. Hopefully everyone got something out of the word tonight, out of the message tonight. If you don't know who Jesus Christ is, if you have your Bible, just go to Romans 10:9. And if you read Romans 10:9, that if you should confess with your mouth and believe with your heart what Jesus did on the cross, thou shalt be saved. And if you believe that and you believe he's going to get up, you believe he got up on the third day and you believe he's coming again, then you're saved. That's all there is to salvation. There's nothing else to it. And I want to leave every message that I do with Romans 10:9, because I want people to understand what salvation is. It's not a bunch of rules that you got to go through. It's not a cult you're joining. It's having a relationship one-on-one with Jesus Christ. It's just that simple. And I'm not going to complicate it. I'm not going to try to put no little bow. It's just that simple. And 10:13, thou shalt call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved, period. The rest of the way is you have to get into the word and receive the word. And the thing about this is receive the word when it's being taught to you. Not just taking people's opinion of the word, just receive it. And if you receive it, the Lord is going to tell you, okay, this is what you need to do. This is good. This is bad. He will, once you get that relationship. But what a lot of people don't want to know, they don't want you to have that relationship because they want you to be in a relationship with them. They want to tell you when to jump. They want to tell you when to get happy. They want to tell you when to sit down. And I think about this for a minute, and I grew up in church like this. Whatever the preacher says, that's what everybody do. Preacher say stand up, you stand up. Preacher say clap your hands, you clap your hands. Preacher say you should shout, you should shout. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe I don't want to shout today. Or then again, maybe I do want to shout today. Maybe I want to dance all around the church today. Now you're going to cut me off. So what I'm saying is when you live for Christ and it's a personal relationship, you pretty much let the Lord lead and guide you. That's why a lot of people don't like Brother Derek, is because I have a personal relationship with Jesus. if someone was to tell me something I was doing wrong, I would listen to them. I'm going to go right to Jesus. And if Jesus tell me I'm wrong, then okay, I apologize, I move on. But if Jesus tell me you ain't doing nothing wrong and you preaching the preaching the word the way I want you to preach it, then I'm going to keep preaching. So you can't shut me down. You can't put me down because God is elevating me. And before, I don't want to lose focus of what I got to announce at the end, because we got a busy week this week, and I want to make sure I give everyone their props and all of that. But the Lord is moving in ways that is unbelievable. And I'm going to share my little testimony, and I'm going to get off. Sunday morning, I got a text during Sunday, during our Praise Tabernacle was on Sunday, and I was engineering the board. And it just becomes automatic. I don't even look at numbers no more. I just just try to listen to the lesson and deal with the engineers around making sure we got a good ear, that everyone can hear what's being said or being sung at that particular time. So in the midst of that, I get a text from Pastor Omar's sister saying that one of the members was trying to get in. And I said, okay, so I had to go back and look why they couldn't get in. It was ringing busy. It was about 11:15. And when I looked at it, when I did the sound check with the pastor, there was over 1,600 people online, on the phone line,
wow,
listening. Just listening. And if you get so jammed up, it's going to give you a busy signal. You got to go on and get it on the internet, because the phone lines can only handle so many lines. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how many of them lines is from Georgia, or trying to get a location. So I had to miss half the sermon trying to get location. Where do you numbers is coming from? And they couldn't do that for me. Tell me like it was coming from East Coast, West Coast, or wherever, because it takes too long to figure that stuff out. But thousands of people is hearing the word of God. I must be doing something right, because we don't have to pay for none of this stuff. And someone is saying, we got you. Don't worry about your monthly bills. We got it. For thousands of people to hear the word of God, it's only right that I say what I say about salvation. It's simple. It's not complicated. And whoever don't like it, then, you know, call me up. I'm willing to. I got a few minutes tonight. We can talk. I ain't going to argue with you all night like I do some nights. I got to get my rest. I got to go golfing in the morning. But I will talk to you about it. And the only reason I want to talk to you about it is because I'm passionate about what I believe. Very passionate about it. So if you want to holler at me about salvation, and if you don't believe what 10:13 says in the Bible, where it says that you call upon the name of the Lord and you're saved, and there's a period, that means you can't add to it and you can't take away from it, then we can talk. But other than that, leave these people alone who just got accepted, and let them build up their faith through hearing the word of God themselves. And don't put them in a class where you want to put them, where you want them to believe what you want them to believe, because you're not God. And you didn't die for them. You can't add nothing to salvation, and you can't take nothing away from it. That's what. I don't want to get off the subject, but that's what we got going on. And I just want to thank the Lord for my engineers for helping me keep everything level. So if you want to listen to any one of the shows, please call in at least 5 minutes before, because if the line busy, really ain't nothing I can do, unless I got your number and I can get you in there. But that's for the teachers and the people that's preaching and all that. That's not for everybody. But for those that's listening, if you wonder why you can't get in or the line always bit, that's why. That is why. Now, tonight,
well,
you probably called in and got in because, you know, don't no one want to listen to Brother Derek and Sister Keisha, but, you know, you got in easy tonight. But on some nights, you just can't get in. And I'm just, you know, I don't have no issues, or it's just people want to hear the word of God, the true word of God. And when I say this, it's like old school radio, people who couldn't wait to sit by the radio or to listen to the word of God, because it would only come on the radio and you couldn't go out. You had to listen to it on the radio. That's old school. And if you notice, everyone, the true believers is going back the way it was back in the day. where you didn't have to beg everyone to hoop and holler. You didn't have to beg everyone to shout. You didn't have to beg everyone to give. They just did it because they knew that's what the Lord was telling them to do at that particular time. And that's all I got to say about it, because I'm from the old school. You ain't gonna tell me what to do. And that gets me in trouble a lot. My wife will tell you, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. Even though you may be telling me right, I'm gonna do what I want to do. And in that,
that's when that
learning that. Well, yeah, but at the same token, that's why these preachers, because I wanted to, you can't tell me how to run certain things when we're trying to run it right. But anyway, let me move on, because we got to get out of here tonight. It's a little bit after 8. I got to get out of here. This is going to be a busy week for us. Pray for us. This week just opened up a whole lot of, I'm just being blessed all over the place this week. Speaking, I think I got to do Bible study tomorrow. I've been invited to speak in Ohio on Friday. I got to be back to speak again in Atlanta on Sunday. My wife is speaking. What, can you give me the information that you're speaking on Thursday, just for anyone that want to listen? So you know I'm bad with messing stuff up.
I'm not really speaking, so I don't want to say that I'm speaking. I'm just going to be – we're going to be discussing a passage in the Bible, and we're just going to be breaking it down. So, but it's Power of Prayer. I'll have the phone number and all of that. My husband, V, he's going to post it for y'all. So I'll have that information. We'll post it. I don't have it readily available right now.
Okay, I like the way you sound. That's going to post it on my site. But okay, I am I getting paid to put this information out there? I'm just playing with you. I'm just messing with you, because someone's going to take that serious. I'm playing. Yeah, I will put the information up on Thursday, where she will be at on Thursday. You call the number, and there's another number you call in, and she gets, you'll be able to listen in to that Bible study as well. A group of ladies have their Bible study. And I like what they're doing, because they're not just sitting at home playing church. They're getting different ways of trying to get the word of God out. And when people try to get the word.
They're great women. And the beautiful thing about what we do on Thursday nights, it's we start with prayer, we end with prayer. In between, we have the word. And we just break it down, and everybody tells what they got from that passage of scripture. So it's very educational, because you can learn different ways of hearing what the Lord is singing. So it's an awesome, awesome thing. Power of Prayer. Shout out to you, ladies.
Power of Prayer. Power of Prayer. Yes. Yeah, shout out again. So those ladies, and I've listened in, I believe, on all their shows, and it's enlightening, and you will learn something. And you ain't got to just go to one church and learn stuff. If you know, I ain't saying dibble and dabble and a bunch of stuff, because you might come up confused. But I'm telling you, I wouldn't be promoting it if it wasn't the true word of God, trust me. And my wife wouldn't have nothing to be with it if it wasn't the true word of God. So there you have that. That's on Thursday at 8 o'clock. Tomorrow night, you got Tuesday night, our normal Tuesday night schedule, Praise Tabernacle Bible Study, which will be on Blog Talk Radio, 7 p.m. Bishop Omar and First Lady Pamela Zachary and a team of elders and evangelists and deacons will be on tomorrow night, 7 p.m. You don't want to miss that. Wednesday night, you have Elder George Bazaar, Watchman on the Wall, at 9 p.m. on Wednesday. Thursday night, you have Bishop Omar Zachary again and family, for praise and worship, their Thursday night service moved from Friday to Thursday night at 7 p.m. And you can watch that here on Blog Talk, or you can get it on Facebook Live on Thursday night as well. Friday night, you have the Overseer Timothy Jackson and Freestyle Friday out of Dallas, Texas. And then also on Saturday, you have Overseer again, Timothy Jackson, Spiritual Sense of Life on Saturdays at 6 p.m. Also on Sunday, we come right back to Praise Tabernacle, Bishop Omar, First Lady Pamela Zachary, Praise Tabernacle Church will be live 11 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio, and also you can catch them on Facebook Live on Sunday morning at 11 p.m. And on Sunday at 5 p.m., we have the Elder George Bizarre Watchman on the Wall at 5 p.m. And, of course, on Mondays, we have D&K Bible Break for those that are listening. And the numbers is going up, and people all over the country is tuning in. And I get messages all the time. I'm bad at getting emails and responding back. I'm bad at it. But the word of God that is being preached on certain days is awesome. And that's all I'm just going to say is awesome. And again, yesterday, I haven't talked about numbers in a while because it's so mind-boggling. People would be like, I'm bragging, and I'm just telling you what the Lord. 1,600 people at 5 minutes to 11. That's how many we had. I don't know how many we had after the fact because I didn't even check, but right before, and, you know, people come in afterwards to listen. And to all the nursing homes, I'm going to the nursing home in my home. Can't say the name because if they get caught that they listening to us, them churches there get upset and try to say take it out because you know how that can be, the political game with that. But I hear them. They're eating food that we're providing for them seniors in the nursing home. And I just want to say I hope y'all enjoy it on Tuesday night as well as you do on Monday. But we feed them every Tuesday when they listen to Bible study. So there's a group of about 30 of them that we see. So when you say that we get scholarship and you know, we don't keep no money, we give it all back out. There ain't nothing to keep, just so you know that. So the Lord is blessing me, and I'm not getting – this is me doing the work for the Lord, and the Lord blesses me on the back end of this. So don't think I'm getting checks and I'm big balling like that. My wife would tell you she keep a tight checkbook. I ain't got it like that. I act like I got it like that, but I ain't got it like
Man.
That. So the Lord is blessing us. So I just want to say that. And again, my wife said I talk too much. And I just want to say that I do talk because there's power in what you say. And all the power and all the glory goes to the Lord that's above. Because all I am is a country preacher from Warren, Ohio, who ain't got the skill set to do nothing, according to certain people, but be a retard and work in a gas station. That's what I was told as a little boy that I was going to be. And here I am reaching thousands upon thousands of people to hear the word of God. And tomorrow night will be no different. There will be thousands of people listening to Bible study. Just like tonight, thousands of people listening to D&K Bible Break. And then I'm going to get the naysayers who are going to call me up in a little bit. But with that being said, my phone is about to go. I got to get out of here. Kay, you can dismiss us, and until we meet again tomorrow night, we will be on 7 p.m. Bishop Omar Zachary and his leadership team will be on for Bible study tomorrow night. And with that being said, this is Dio. I'm signing out for good. My wife is going to take us home.
All right. I had to make sure he wasn't coming back to say something else because he always say, and another thing, and one more thing, and he always go on and on. So I had to be quiet for a minute and make sure he was done. But anyway, thank everybody for listening. We appreciate the support. Everything that we do is for the glory of God, and all we want is the Lord's will to be done in our lives and everything that we say, everything that we do. So I'm just going to close us out with prayer. Father God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for the show. We pray that it touched someone's heart, that it's not going out void, Lord Jesus. We just ask that you continue to let your will be done in your children's lives, in the people that tune in throughout every show that we have. We just pray that you continue to look out and bless them and keep them covered under your blood. We ask that your will be done in all areas of their lives, and we plead the blood of Jesus over their families. And anything that they are seeking to do, we ask that everything be done according to your will. We pray that the words of our mouth and meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Thank you for being our strength and our redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and bless everybody on this week. and let everybody have a blessed week. Amen.